Let's turn together to Isaiah 44. God is sovereign. Now, what does that word mean, sovereign? God is sovereign. I'm going to say this, and I put it in the bulletin so you can read it again. God has the prerogative, the right. And God has the power to do as He will in heaven and in earth, using all men, good and evil, all things, good and evil, all powers, principalities, and rulers of the darkness, seen or unseen, good and evil. God turns all in the way which pleases God, for the purpose of bringing the gospel to chosen sinners whom He has purposed to bring out of spiritual death to eternal life in Christ Jesus His Son. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Well, God is sovereign. There's no one and there's no thing that God is not all powerful over. God can do just as it pleases God. Our text shows us three ways that God is sovereign. We see here that God is sovereign in creation. We see, secondly, that God is sovereign in providence. And we see, thirdly, that God is sovereign in salvation. And it's in particular to the sovereignty of God in salvation that God's directing our attention in this passage of Scripture. I want you to notice how this word of His sovereignty is right away connected with His redeemed. Look at Isaiah 44:24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and He that formed thee from the womb. The Lord speaking to you who He's formed from the womb. Formed in divine election, formed in the redemption of Christ Jesus His Son, formed by His sovereign regenerating grace. This is comfort for His people. God is sovereign in creation. Look at verse 24. I am the Lord that maketh all, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. God had no help. Absolutely no help. He needed no help from anyone, not from man, in making all things. He said that He stretched forth the heavens alone. He spread abroad the earth by Himself. He did that. The heavens and the earth. Where was man when God stretched forth the heavens and when He spread the earth abroad? You think about the solar system. Everything in our solar system, all the bodies in our solar system, revolve around the sun. The maker that made it designed it that way on purpose. He designed it that way on purpose. Every time we see the sun go up, every time we see the sun go down, we're reminded that everything God has made revolves around the Son of God and His full, complete accomplishment of His people's salvation. Even the history that we're looking at in this passage tells us that. Notice God says, I am the Lord that maketh all. I am the Lord that maketh all. Proverbs 16:4 said, the Lord hath made all things for Himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. God's elect remnant in Israel were taken captive in Babylon. That's what our text is referring to. God made Babylon, and He made Israel. And when it pleased God, when it served His purpose to make His glory known, God took His restraints off Babylon, and He allowed them to take His elect remnant captive. and it was the wicked hands of the Babylonians that did it. But they did only what God took his restraints off, when he took his restraints off. And Isaiah 37:26, he said, "Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it? And of ancient times that I have formed it? Now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldest be to lay waste defense cities into ruinous heaps." They thought they did it themselves. He said in Habakkuk 1:6, "I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs." But how would God show his glory in that? How would God show his glory in allowing Babylon to come in and take his elect remnant captive in Israel? His elect remnant in Israel captive. How would he show his glory? By delivering them out of that captivity all by himself. That's how. It was for the same purpose that Satan was allowed to take God's elect captive in sin in the garden. Very same purpose. So that God might manifest his sovereign name in the salvation of his elect by the blood and righteousness of his Son. You see, everything in the creation of God does revolve around his Son. It does revolve around the Son of Righteousness. There's no one, no thing that is out of God's direct control. If it is, then God's not in control. And that's no God at all. God is God. He said, "I look down at Isaiah 45:7. He said, "I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things." How we find rest. Don't you find rest in the absolute sovereignty of God? Do you feel like, you brethren sitting here, do you feel like that you're burdened? Do you feel like that you're in some captivity? Some captivity in some trials or some various things in your life. You feel like your hands are tied. You can't free yourself. The God whose hand was big enough to stretch out heaven and earth declares to us right here that he's big enough to deliver you from all your sin and to keep you trusting him alone. That's what he's showing us. God won't be frustrated in providing all for his sheep. He won't be frustrated any more than he was frustrated when he by himself stretched forth the heavens and spread abroad the earth. He won't be frustrated. And over he keeps showing us that. And over he keeps teaching us that. And every time he does, you know what we end up saying? You know what we say in our heart? Every time he shows us this, over and over and over, we say, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." That's what we see over and over. The second thing he shows us here is that God's sovereign in providence. Now let's talk about what providence is first before we go any further. Clay, what do you mean when you say providence? Everything that comes to pass in this earth. Everything that comes to pass in this earth. Everything that comes to pass in this earth in time is what God purposed in heaven before time. And he brings it to pass exactly in his time. Does that include all things? It includes all things. Yes, it does. He said, the Lord said, two sparrows that are worth any more than a farthing, just pennies. He said, one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. God's not exaggerating. The Lord Jesus Christ's not exaggerating when he says that. This is what he says in Psalm 104:27. Psalm 104:27. He says, "These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created. Thou renewest the face of the earth." But in verse 25 in our text, God declares he's sovereign in providence over men. Over men. And that's even better than telling us, showing us how sovereign He is over providence and things, because it's men who believe the lie and really do think that we are as God. Man really thinks he's sovereign. Man really thinks he's sovereign. Look at here in verse 25. He says concerning liars and concerning false teachers, diviners, and all self-ascribed wise men. Those wise men are the extra crafty, extra subtle. He said that He makes all the signs and the miracles of the liars to come to nothing. Verse 25. This is the same Lord that stretched out the heavens and the earth. He said, is the Lord that frustrated the tokens of the liars. He doesn't remove the liars. He doesn't remove their signs and wonders from the world. But God brings them to nothing to protect His people from them. That's what He does. God maketh diviners mad, he says here in verse 25. That word is mad. He makes them shine. Do you remember Thursday night when the Lord was in the temple? The Lord did two things with His word. He healed a withered man's hand, made him to do that which was impossible for him to do without God working, Christ working power in him. And the other thing He did was He made those who thought they were sovereign and thought they were righteous by something they had done, they were filled with madness. And they shined. They shined like a light. They shined just like a light. God doesn't remove them out of the earth. He doesn't remove them necessarily out of the presence of His people. But He makes them to shine like madmen before His people. And He says here, God turns the wise men backward and makes their knowledge foolish. The wise men are the extra crafty, the extra subtle. The Lord warned us. He said, there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. God makes the knowledge of the wise to be foolishness to His people, so that the believer is not carried about with their craftiness, wherein they lie in wait to deceive. Look over at 1 Corinthians 3:18. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men. God is sovereign in providence over men for the direct preservation and protection of His sheep. This is what we read in 1 Chronicles 16:31. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. He reigns. Isn't that good news? If we're as sheep for the slaughter, that's wonderful news. That's wonderful news. If we're babies, if we're sucklings, with absolutely no power in us, standing before the ravenous and roaring lion who walks about seeking whom he may devour. That's wonderful good news, isn't it? Wonderful good news. God is sovereign in providence, turning the king's heart like water. Just like water. That's all it is water. It don't have any stability to it anyway. It's just water. Thirdly, now this is the good part. This is what we're coming to. This is what God started. He said, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and He that called you, formed you from the womb. He said all this to bring us to this point right here, to show us He's sovereign in salvation. What do you mean by that? He's sovereign in salvation. I mean, salvation's of the Lord. I mean that God purposed it. I mean that God designed everything in His eternal counsel, meaning that He chose whom He would save, meaning He chose who would do the saving, His Son, Christ Jesus the Lord, meaning that He trusted everything into His hand to honor His glory and fulfill all righteousness, meaning that He came forth and accomplished it, meaning that He has risen again and all power in heaven and earth is His, meaning that He is the one who's ruling and reigning in the earth right now, meaning that He's calling out His sheep effectually in the heart and bringing them to Himself, meaning that He will keep them and preserve them and bring every one of them home to Him, and not one shall be lost. And that every one of His sheep, not one of them, will point to themselves and say, I have anything to glory in. Every one of them will say, He alone accomplished my salvation. God is sovereign in the salvation of His people. Look at verse 26. He says, He's God that confirmeth the word of His servant and performeth the counsel of His messengers, that saith to Jerusalem, Thou shalt be inhabited. This is the word. This is the word of His servant. This is the counsel of His messengers. This is what His messengers and His servants say. They say to Jerusalem, Thou shalt be inhabited. And to the cities of Judah, you shall be built. And God will raise up the decayed places thereof. They say to the deep, be dry. And He says, and I'll dry up thy rivers. The messengers of God are His witnesses. They're folks He's already born of His Spirit and given His word and sent them forth to bear witness of Him alone. That's who His messengers are. Those that God sent before Christ walked this earth, as well as those after Christ walked this earth. They're His messengers. And those that walked this earth while Christ walked this earth. Isaiah and the prophets declared, they came forth and they said that Israel would be taken captive in Babylon. Isaiah been saying this from the very beginning. Because God's people were... It was their own fault. It was no fault of God's whatsoever. They went away backwards from God. That's what we did. That's what we did in sin. We went away backwards from God. And Isaiah's been declaring from the beginning that Israel would go into Babylonian captivity. And the Lord confirmed and performed every word that He said. Every word. And Isaiah is saying right here to us that Jerusalem is going to be inhabited again. And the cities of Judah will be built. And the decayed places be built up. And the Lord did everything Isaiah said. He did. He brought them right out of Babylon. He brought them right down the highway He said He'd provide. He brought them right back to the city Jerusalem. He had the temple built again. Walls built up. And that city established again, just like He said He would. Just like He said He would. The Lord's apostles preached the gospel, and the Lord confirmed every word that they spoke, performing miracles and converting sinners. Look over at Hebrews 2, verse 3. Hebrews 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with different miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will. The Lord confirms His gospel in our day, performs this very same thing in our day, by His operation of grace in the hearts of sinners who are dead in trespasses and in sin. Thou, you who hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sin. You were dead in trespasses and in sin. There's no power, absolutely no power, to confirm. There's no power to perform. No power to quicken. No power to make the word effectual in God's messengers. They have no power to do it. His messengers have that. We have absolutely no power in us to make anybody believe. Not at all. We don't. We might as well stop acting like we do. There's absolute power in God who sends the messengers, though. Absolute power in Him. God sovereignly performs the counsel of His messengers because God's messengers only declare what God says in His Word. You want to appear brilliant? You want to appear just brilliant? Don't tell needy sinners anything but what God says He does for needy sinners. Don't tell any sinners, robbed and bankrupt, in their dead, dying, decayed flesh, don't tell them anything but that salvation is of the Lord. That God saves whom He will and passes by whom He will. And you'll see God confirm and perform His Word. If all we say is what God said, we can be sure it'll be confirmed and performed. That's brilliant, isn't it? It's just amazingly simple, isn't it? Astoundingly simple. Well, we see here heavenly Jerusalem, He said, will be inhabited. His local assembly shall be built just like Judah. As the gospel goes forth, His dead and decayed elect are each one raised up in regeneration by the Spirit of God, just like those decayed places in Jerusalem and Judah. That's what He's showing us here. He's not just telling us all this so you can look back on Babylon and Israel's interaction with one another and have some idea of what took place in history. He's showing us how He saves sinners. The salvation of God's elect is sure because Christ Jesus is the great shepherd of His sheep. He is the servant. That's what we see pictured here in Cyrus. Christ is the sovereign Savior. Look at verse 28. He saith of Cyrus, He's my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure. Even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Cyrus, this word is going forth. He was chosen and foretold of His coming over 200 years before He ever arrived on the scene. 200 years before. Christ Jesus is the one God chose and of whom all the prophets bore witness. He chose Him from eternity. Long, 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 long before 200 years ago. Long before 2,000 years ago. God, who at sundry times and in different manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, He's the one that all the prophets were speaking about. That's who Isaiah's talking about. And He, God, was speaking and talking about His Son, and He hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom He also made the worlds. He's the one by whom He made the worlds. That's how long ago He was anointed and chosen to come forth. Cyrus came down from distant mountains down to Babylon to deliver God's remnant out of Babylonian captivity. Christ Jesus is the Son of God come down out of God's mountain, out of heaven itself, into this Babylon in which we dwell, to deliver His elect children out of Babylon, the sinful Babylonian captivity of our sin and rebellion in this world. Cyrus here, his name signifies Son, S-U-N. That's what his name signifies. Christ is really the light. He is really the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness. He's really the one of whom the whole world revolves. Cyrus was called of God, my shepherd. Look there. He saith, He's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. God the Father chose Christ. He chose His Son. He's God's shepherd. God's shepherd to shepherd His flock. God's shepherd to deliver His elect remnant out of sin and captivity. God says here, and He shall perform all my pleasure. You know what Christ did? He fulfilled all righteousness. Look over at Isaiah 53. He laid down His life for His sheep. He put away the sins of His people by the sacrifice of Himself. He made full satisfaction of God for the sin of His people according to God's good pleasure. Look at verse Isaiah 53:10. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. It made satisfaction to God to bruise His Son. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He's the shepherd. He's the anointed shepherd. He's the one who did all God's pleasure. And look back now at our text, verse 28. And God raised him, and God set him on his own right hand, and he is in the heavens right now, and all power is his. And he sends forth his messengers and confirms all the word that they declare. Verse 28, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Christ is our foundation. He's the solid rock. He's our wall. He's our high tower. He's our bulwark. He's our defense. Christ is. He goes forth on his white charger, and out of his mouth goes that two-edged sword, conquering and to conquer. He's not trying. He's not frustrated. He's not begging and pleading and hoping you're going to let him do something for you. If he came into this earth and did something for you, you can be assured he's going to do something for you. You can be assured of that. He's going to come and he's going to do something. Is he doing something for you? Is he? He adds to the church daily such as should be saved. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's what we read in Acts, right there in the very beginning. Where was Christ? You didn't see him there, did you? You didn't look around and see his presence there. But he was there. And he was the one doing the adding. He was the one calling and saving every living stone. He says, thou shalt be built. Thy temple, it's going to be built. The foundation shall be laid. He laid the foundation. And that temple's going to be built. Every living stone is going to be put in place by him through the Holy Spirit of God. And ain't not one of them going to be left in Babylon. Not one is going to be left in Babylon. Not one. You know why? You know why? Because our God, the God who by himself alone stretched out the heavens and made the earth, the God who makes the subtle and wise and crafty men that we are, that made our very craftiness and our very subtlety to be absolute, thorough madness to us. So that what we once loved, we now hate. And what we once hated, now we love. That same God who turns away backwards all the wise and the mighty men of this world and makes them known unto us and preserves us, he's sovereign to do that. Because this God is sovereign in salvation. Look down at verse 6. We'll look at this more next time, but this is why he did everything he did. That they may know from the rising of the sun, from the east and from the west, from one end of the other earth to the other, that there's none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Can you say amen to that? That, Jamie? That just, Joe? Every sinner here that's been called by him, that just settles us and makes us to know we're going to be all right. Everything's going to be fine. Isn't it? Amen.